All right, today I want to discuss the topic of Zayin Adar. Okay, Zayin Adar is Sunday. Zayin Adar Beis, correct. Zayin Adar Beis will take place near to Shem on Sunday. We already discussed this very briefly when we discussed the halachas, the difference between Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni. Person has a yahrzeit. Person is observing yahrzeit for someone who died in a year when the person died when there was only one Adar. When does he observe the yahrzeit? Does he observe the yahrzeit in Adar Rishon or in Adar Sheni? So we discussed the machlekes between the Mechaber and the Ramah, the Svardim and the Ashkenazim. The Svardim, the Mechaber is very strong. You should observe it in Adar Sheni. This is the Shita of the Svardim, the Mechaber. The Ramah, the Ashkenazim are very strong that the yahrzeit should be observed primarily in Adar Rishon, in the first Adar. However, Ashkenazim have become accustomed that because there's a suffix to observe both, to observe the yahrzeit both. The person can fast, the person's custom is to fast the yahrzeit. If he can't fast both, he should fast both. And if he can't, then the ikar is Rishon. Ashkenazim primarily take hold the first Adar Rishon. So if you only can do one, or if you're going to get into a fight, getting the omen two times, or once or twice.
If you get a fight on omen, you lose.
You gamble. It's not so simple. Listen, the people. I tell you, for example, Mitzvah Shabbos. People like to daven Mitzvah Shabbos, the yahrzeit of the Neshama Yisera before the yahrzeit. So that's not halacha. When you want to daven Mitzvah Shabbos because you have yahrzeit this week, as soon as yahrzeit, I have yahrzeit on Tuesday. So I want to daven Mitzvah Shabbos. You don't have a kedima. It's a nice thing to do to daven Mitzvah Shabbos, the Neshama Yisera, but you're not a chiv. You have no right to knock off a person who is Tochiyah Beis Chodesh. However, there seems to be an unwritten rule that there is. I don't know where some places.
This, in the community,
what?
Nowhere.
It depends. Some people are very sensitive, and there is courtesy. There is some degree of courtesy where if someone comes over to the Baal Tefillah and it says, I know you Toch Yud Beis Chodesh, and not Shleshim definitely not, but let's say you Toch Yud Beis Chodesh, I have yahrzeit this week for my father, and you know who my father was. My father was Mamish, the Gadol Hadar, and I want to observe Mitzvah Shabbos, please do me the Toiv let me daven Mitzvah Shabbos. So, alright. But when your guy says to you, by the way, there are two others this year, I'm going to be asking you twice, you're already pushing it. You're already pushing it. Got to really be careful, okay? So this is already, watch out. This is.
You don't want to give it up.
What?
You're a chiyuv, you can't.
You don't have rishus to give it up. But you see people,
you see that
some people, they want to do what's good for them. They're not going to, someone else, it means a lot to someone else to daven Mitzvah Shabbos. Okay, so this is every shul of the different rules. So halacha l'maaseh, it's not so posh. Ashkenazim only really observe Adar Aleph. Now what about the yahrzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu, we don't really know when Moshe Rabbeinu, when he died, did he die in a year when there were two Adars? Or was there one Adar? They die, and if there were two Adars, then seemingly did he die in the first Adar? Seemingly he died in the second Adar. Because we know that Klal Yisrael entered into Eretz Yisrael. Klal Yisrael 33 days after he died. We entered into Eretz Yisrael, says the Pasuk, on the 10th day of Nisan. On the 10th day of Nisan, Klal Yisrael entered into Eretz Yisrael. That was 33 days after Moshe Rabbeinu died. Because it says in the Pasuk, they mourned for him for 30 days. 30 days was the mourning. That takes us to Zion. Takes us to Zion Nisan. And then 3 days later was 10th day of Nisan. They came into Eretz Yisrael. So if Moshe Rabbeinu died in a year when there was a double Adar, then certainly Moshe would have died in the second Adar. That would mean that the yahrzeit should be observed.
Calculate?
No, we don't know. There are a lot of opinions, different sides. So that would then mean that Moshe Rabbeinu, that means that there's no question that the yahrzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu should be observed on the second Adar, not the first Adar. But if Moshe Rabbeinu died in a year when there was only one Adar, then we're back with our dilemma, do we observe his yahrzeit in the first Adar or the second Adar? So we discussed last time that the Sfarim, of course, second, Ashkenazim the first, and Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael was occupied. It's not a nice word to use, but was occupied by the Sephardim before the Ashkenazim came to town. And it seems that in Eretz Yisrael it's well accepted that the Ashkenazim, although they set up their own communities and their own shuls and their own customs, this thing they never tampered with. Since this was the Minhag HaMakom in Eretz Yisrael to observe Adar Sheni as the Yahrzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Ashkenazim did not put their hands tamper with this, and the Yahrzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu in Eretz Yisrael was always observed on the second Adar, even among the Ashkenazim in deference to the Sephardim. In Chutz Liaretz, where there was never any conflict, so then there were different communities and different things were done. Now, so we're in Chutz Liaretz, so we really discussed it already once in Adar Rishon, but just because it's coming around, again, so let's talk about it a little bit in more detail. Now, what is the halach? The Gemara really talks about the halachic significance of Adar Rishon, of Zayin Adar, and the Gemara gives an example of persons. I want to be like a person on Zayin Adar. On the Zayin Adar. So the Gemara is at the level. What does he mean to say? Does he mean to say that he wants to be a Nazir? Because we assume that on the day that Moshe Rabbeinu died, many people were makabel upon themselves Nazirus. This was common in ancient times when a person would die. So the response, the tsar of Amisa, would be to be makabel upon yourself fasting and different forms of Yisurim, which comes with being a Nazir. Nazir may not drink wine, a Nazir has to let his hair grow long, so perhaps the person means he wants to be like Moshe Rabbeinu, he wants to observe, become a Nazir. That's one interpretation. Another interpretation, no, maybe he wants to have Simcha, because the day that Moshe Rabbeinu died is also the day that Moshe Rabbeinu was born. And being that Moshe Rabbeinu was born, it's especially of Simcha, so maybe what he means to say, he wants to mekabel upon himself to be Mesameach. He has to eat Basar V'Yayin, because since Moshe Rabbeinu was born, he has a chiv to rejoice and to say this is Shiloh, which we do not have an answer. We have to evaluate what the person's mind frame is, mindset is, does he want to have simcha or does he want to have tzar? It's a day which has both the simcha and tzar. Now there are many places, I don't remember all the names, I'm running through a lot of things very quickly in my mind. What I'm telling you all comes from this sefer called Mo'adin L'Simcha. Okay, it's a very good sefer. Mo'adin L'Simcha, he has a very, very good chapter on Zayin Adar. And he says, one of the main things that was done in Zayin Adar was, it was a day miyuchad for the Chevra Kadisha. The Chevra Kadisha will come together and make a Su'uda on Zayin Adar, either on Zayin Adar or on Ches Adar. There were two different customs. One custom was they will makabel tainus for a half a day. The day on Vav Adar. Everyone in the Chevra Kadisha would be makabel upon themselves b'shas mincha, that the next day they're going to fast for a half a day until mincha gedoyla. On the next day they would fast until mincha gedoyla, and they would say slichos. They would say in Tehillim there are 11 mizmorim that were composed by Moshe Rabbeinu, tefillah l'Moshe, starting with Mizmar, I think Mizmar Sadi, if I'm not mistaken, from there 11 going forward, there are 11 Mizmarim, and then they would go to the cemetery, and in the cemetery they would be Mevakesh Mechila from the Mason. This is a very big ceremony. Come to the cemetery, there are certain parts of the cemetery which were open areas, and they would stand there, and they would speak to the Mason, and they would be Mevakesh Mechila, just in case when we took care of you, we would not treat you with proper kavod, proper derecheretz, we ask you Mechila. Then they would come back to the city, they would daven Mincha Gedoyla, and after Mincha Gedoyla, they would break their fast and have a lavish suda. And the reason why they had this lavish suda was to mechazek themselves, to come together to make sure everyone, the chevra should continue. There are different reasons for the suda, we'll discuss a little bit more. The chevra should continue to do their job properly. Now there's a famous chazal. Chazal say that when Haman went and he cast lots, when he should implement his evil decree to annihilate the Klal Yisrael, it fell out in Chodesh Adar, and he had a great simcha because this was the moment Moshe Rabbeinu was nifter. But the Chazal goes further and they say, but he did not realize. But that's also when Moshe Rabbeinu was born. So many of the Gedolim, including I think the Chassam Sofer and others that follow in his reasoning, they say a very big chiddush that even the Ashkenazim who are of the opinion that a yahrzeit should be observed in Adar Rishon, agree that Moshe Rabbeinu's Yahrzeit should be observed in Adar Sheni. Because since we find that it's part of the Nes Purim, the Petira and the Lade of Moshe is part and parcel of the Nes Purim, and Purim is celebrated in Adar Sheni, because the Gemara says it has to be Samach to Nisan with Samach Geula LeGeula. Therefore, everyone agrees that the Yahrzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu should be commemorated in Adar Sheni. That's one interesting mahalach why it's an exception. Another reason why it's an exception is because we have a tradition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is memale yamav u'shnoshav shel tzadikim miyoyim liyoyim. So what does that mean? The day that you're born is the day that you die. Really, it should be the day before. But the truth is, that's not really a shana tanina, because we, halacha very clearly recognizes the solar year. We follow a lunar year. Not a pure, it's a lunar solar year. But the Torah recognizes there's something called the solar year. Shana Tamima. The law of Batei Ari Chaima. A person sells a home in a walled city. He has a year to redeem his house. These rules follow the solar year. What we call the secular calendar. So the Torah acknowledges the Lade of Yitzchak. When the Malach came and told, sir, you're going to have a baby, he put an etch on the wall. He put an etch on the sun dial. When the sun will return to this location, a child will be born. They were following a solar cycle. The Torah very clearly acknowledges something called a solar cycle. If a person's birthday occurs on the day of his Hebrew birth, that's not, Hashem was not memale his shana miyom liyom. It's not fair. He was meant to live 120 years, and he was gypped because he lived 11 days less than the full year. In halacha, you have to go, there's an Adar, and there's a Shvat, and there's a Nisan. But as far as the cycle of the full shlemus of what a year is, you have to also take into consideration the solar year. You're being gypped. So there is a mahalach, it's a fascinating mahalach. He brings down Achrayim that says HaShachidish, is that there are many calculations as to when Moshe Rabbeinu died and when he was born. There's an approach in among the Achronim to suggest that Moshe Rabbeinu was born in a leap year. If there were leap, there were no leap years. I don't know what that means, because there were no leap years when Moshe Rabbeinu was born. They had calendar. Chodesh Elohim was given. Whatever this means, let's say they follow a tradition. The Torah wasn't given yet, and they already were following the tradition. It's a very chiddush to say such a thing, but I think this is based on the Medrash. The Moshe Rabbeinu was born in Adar Rishon, and he died in Adar Sheni. Why? Because Hashem was memale shenois of miyom liyom. That's what Chazal mean. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu the shleimus of life. The shleimus of life means I gave you the fullest possible amount of time you can live on this world. Just to say that you live Mishana Lashana, that's not really, your person's born on Zayin Shvat. And he dies in Zayin Shvat. So if you don't pass through the...
It makes more sense that he died in Adar
Rishon. No, that's less. They don't say that. I had to have died in Adar Sheni. That's clear, because that's what I'm telling you. They didn't see the Levana. There was no Levana. It was Bichesron. These are Midrashim. It's not clear. Okay, but this is another approach why the yards of the Moshe Rabbeinu should be observed in Adar Sheni, not in Adar Rishon.
And if he died in Adar Sheni,
yeah.
Why is the whole question,
Purim has to be in Adar Sheni. That's given. Question is the Yahrzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu observed in Adar Rishon, Adar Sheni? So this is the second approach why, even according to the Ashkenazim, there's an inyan to observe the Yahrzeit in Adar Sheni for Moshe Rabbeinu and Adar Rishon, because of this novel idea of understanding miyom liyom. Does miyom liyom means the fullest possible amount of time you can live in this world. And if you have two Adars, the fullest possible amount of time is to get that extra month to make up, to reconcile the difference between the lunar year and the solar year. Now, what happened on the day? Why is the day of Moshe Rabbeinu's material so significant? So the Mepharshim said one very powerful idea is on this day he wrote 13 Sifrei Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu, he wrote to Chazal, he wrote 13 Sifrei Torah, 12 were given to the Shvatim, and the 13th, which was the main Sifrei Torah, was given to Shevet Levi. There's a very interesting Messar that in this Sifrei Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu gave to Shevet Levi, not only did he write the Chamish Echum Shei Torah, he also filled it in with Nekudos and the Ta'ameh HaMikra. Shocking, it's a medrash. It's a medrash. And that Sefer Torah was munach in the Aron with the Luchos. It wasn't just an ordinary Sefer Torah, a Sefer Torah with the kudos and the Tamei Yikra. Now what is so... What? Now, what is very controversial about such a medrash? This is a medrash. I can't go. I'm a little bit all mixed up with all the sources, but this is a medrash. The Tamei Hamikra and the Nekudos. What's very problematic with this is l'cha'ora the Tamei Hamikra and the Nekudos is a chelik of Torah shebal peh. And we have on the Sarah that Dvarim Shebal Peh Iyata Rishai Likasev. You're not allowed to put it in writing. So how could it possibly be?
You're not allowed to write the Aleph Beis, but you're allowed to write dots.
So we have to make all these very split hairs, these chilukim, to order to understand this Medrash Pliya that Moshe was allowed to write the Kudos and the Tanei HaMikra, which either tells us that it's not fully part of Torah Shebal Peh. It's more of a chelik of Torah Shebal Sav than the Kudos and Tanei HaMikra. This was given to Klal Yisrael on the Hizyon Petira.
They have the
Registrum,
the Sifrei
Torah.
Yeah. The
good
ideas was to put little dots.
Right, I did that. No, they don't put dots. They take a teeny little pin. I did this all the same time my father's shul. They give you a kit, and they give you a pin, and they give you like a guide, and the guide already has the place where the code, and you just take the pin in the parchment on the bottom, on the beginning and the end, on certain urios, and you just prick it. So to the naked eye, you can't see anything. It's also on the bottom. Teeny microscopic holes, but if it needs to be identified, they have a technique where you can see where the holes are, how they're aligned, and that's a code, and that code can be traced to the registry to figure out who's the owner of this inventory. But that's not a mark. If it would be a mark with ink, that would not be allowed. Now, so that is Moshe Rabbeinu on the day that he died. The one reason why it's a very big symbol is because on this day Moshe made a bris with Klal Yisrael, and what we do on Zayin Adar is we commemorate the bris that Moshe made with Klal Yisrael to observe the Torah u'mitzvahs. Okay. Now, another reason that why is it so important to observe the Chevre Kadisha? Why did they focus on Zayin Adar? It's very simple. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he left Mitzrayim, what was he busy doing? What was Moshe Rabbeinu involved with? Atzmas Yosef. Moshe Rabbeinu was the ultimate Chevre Kadisha. Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who took care of the Atzmas Yosef. And therefore, and who took care of Moshe Rabbeinu? Who buried Moshe Rabbeinu? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So because we find the Inyan of Kvur was so chaviv to Moshe, that he, all people, were Oisek with Atzmas Yosef, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself was Oisek in Moshe's Kvura, that is why it is a day that is miyuchid for the Chevre Kadisha, for them to focus on more than any other day. And he has here of art an idea. It's a very interesting minog, which I mean today you hear about. There are different Chevre Kadishas which do have sudos on the Zayin Adar. He writes here that in Eretz Yisrael is a very big thing in the Churvashul. Rabbi Huda HaChassid in Yerushalayim, there they have a whole ceremony. Every year in that shul, in that Beis HaKnesset, the Chevre Kadish, they come together on the Zayin Adar and they fast, and from there they go out to the Beis as Harazesim, and they do their thing, and they have a Suda. Now, why? Another reason why Zayin Adar, well, I'm going back, another reason why there's another need to commemorate Zayin Adar and Adar Sheni more than Adar Rishayin, very similar reason. Why is Zayin Adar selected by the Chevre Kadisha for their tainus? Because Zayin Adar can never fall out on Shabbos. Therefore, what about Zayin Adar of Adar Rishon? Can Zayin Adar Rishon fall out on Shabbos? Yes, it can. So therefore, this is another support that even the Ashkenazim who normally observe a Yartzeit an Adar Rishon, Zayin Adar is only observed in Adar Sheni, because Adar Rishon can indeed fall out on Shabbos, so it defeats the entire purpose of why this day was selected. Now, there is a Chassidus Sheminik, and this Chassidus Sheminik overflows into this, the Minik of the Chevre Kadish. It's a very strange thing, and we can have this in Eoif in a day or two. This concept is brought out in Iyah very clearly. You read here, her whole pasuk dedicates to this idea. There was a minhag in ancient times by Hasidim, maybe it's still done today, that on Erev Yom Kippur, or Erev Rosh Hashanah, the shul, the Beis HaKnesses, or the Chevet, would take tztaka money, they would mamish go to the Kubashel tztaka, they would rob the bank, they would rob the tztaka, the pushka, they would take the tztaka money, they would go to the store and buy schnapps, or buy cake. Okay, lekach, that's not the meaning of lekach. They would buy cake, they would buy schnapps, and they would give everyone in the shul a lechayim and a piece of cake that was purchased with tzedakah money. How could you do this? How can you take tzedakah money and waste it on giving everyone a lechayim and lekach? It's a chasid shemina. They would tell everyone, it's the Yom Hadin, today, tomorrow, and in case chas v'shon was nigzer upon a person here that he should be an oni, I mean, the Kabbal stalker. This should be the Kiyum. This should be.
That's what Moshe said
there. Science. Moshe said this. Moshe was a chashish of art. Okay. This should be the Kiyum of the klala, the gzardin, that miye oni miye asher. In oni, you need to take stalker. No, you took stalker. You went there from stalker at Khan, and now you go back and you can be a gvir, you can be successful. What?
Can never come on Shabbos.
You pass it, but how can because you could have 2 days ad. You could have sometimes other shane. It can so be can be happened? One day. Zion can be 2 days.
Let's say it's Zion.
Okay, we have to check into this. I believe that other Rishon Zion Adar can. Okay, all right.
Then Purim would come out.
I'm not sure. Okay, maybe you're right. Okay, that's what it says here. He makes this calculation here. Maybe you're right. Okay, we have to check. Okay. So there's another example. There was an example. They say that the Rav Chaim Brisk. I'm not sure it was about him, but someone in the Soloveitchik family. This is Chazal. Ain ksuba deloy. There's no such thing as a ksuba without a tigra. Every wedding, there's always going to be a fight. There's always going to be the satan. There's always going to be some type of friction caused the families are going to fight. So one of the Gedolim show when they came to the chasna, right away he did something. That's one of the reasons why they break a glass. There are 100 reasons why you break a glass. Under the chol, you break a plate. You give the satan a bone. There has to be some type of machlekes, some type of hefsid. So take a klicheres, or take a glass and destroy it. Give the satan his bone, let him be happy, and chashon, the kitroik, should not break out over the family and over the mishpacha, and there shouldn't be a fight ruin the wedding. So one of the salavetchiks, when he went to his chasna, one of his children used to go, and the first thing he did, we would say to his mechutin, I don't like how you're dressed. I don't like your hat. I don't know how they were dressed. I don't like your tie. So he'd right away make a fight with him over a kleinekite. And he was, oh, we were Mekayim, in Ksuba B'lei Tigra, and now invite everything Shalom Al Yisrael. So he says here an amazing thing. This is an amazing minhakada. We are totally, this is minhagim there from the Chevek Hadisha, totally lost from us. It was a minhakada Hadisha. Today you go to an Aguda convention. I was once by a convention, I told you this a few times, I went once, they had years ago, they only did this once, they had already 4 or 5 times a convention for Magidei Shir. Aguda decided they're going to have a gathering for people, only for Magidim, only for people who deliver a Daf Yomi. If you don't give a Daf Yomi Shir, you're not invited. You have to deliver a Daf Yomi. They had special speakers, different techniques, different tools, different svarim that are meant for Magidim. Okay, so they had this already a couple of times. The first time I was still giving a Daf Yomi then, so I went. And the person from the Agud, he got up, it was a beautiful gathering. It was in Rav David Cohen Shul on Coney Island. It was a very nice crowd. They showed some very fascinating videos. And the person from the Agud, the got up, and he said, this is the first time I do events. I'm in charge of arranging all these events. This is the first time we've made an event for the Aguda, an official Aguda event, where there's no dais. Never happened such a thing. Aguda is all built on Kavod HaTorah, or Etzes. There's a dais. There are Abonim sitting in the front. And where you sit, this dais, the lower dais, the upper dais, the middle, the back, the side, it's all politics. That's the way it is. This is the first event we've ever made where there's no dais. Everyone here, because what are we going to do? Everyone here gives a share. So everyone here, so everyone gives a share? Who are we going to tell to sit on the dais, not sit on the dais? So there's no dais. Mashve Koton V'Gadol. That's what he said. It was talk very nice. The second time they did this, they already had a dais. I even remember who was sitting at the dais. The second time they had the Agudah Avenue well. And there was already a dais. The third time, I don't think I went already. But they already had. But the first time. So it says here something fascinating. In ancient times, Alachas Kam V'Kama, they always had a dais. It was the Minig Hakpod Gemura by the Chev, the Sudas Chevre Kadisha and Zayin Adar. There's no dais. Every person was equal. Everyone who came to the Chevre Kadisha, which they invited all the Gedolei Yisrael who came to the Suda, there was no, everyone, they were Mashve Koton V'Gadol. Everyone is the same, no difference. Why? An explanation given why this is a Hakpada Gemur by this Suda, because when a person is dead, a person is in the next world, and it's a Pasuk in Eiv, Paragimel Pasuk Eiv, there's no difference between the Katan and the Gadol. Death is the great equalizer. It's all the same. Okay, person didn't the Cheshvan, got different Madregas, but it's everyone who is Pasuk, and we'll see Pasuk in Eiv says, if I'll be dead, there's no difference between the Nadiv, the Gevir, and this one, it's all the same. So the Chevre Kadisha said, let this Suda, where we're Mashveh, Katan V'Gadol, be the Kiyum of death. What's the purpose of death? To Mashveh, Katan V'Gadol. So here it is. This is what we're doing at this Suda, and the Mela, there's no need that anyone, Rachmana Litzlan, should die, and we should need to come on to any real death. Yeah.
They're putting themselves out of business.
Halavai. It's the one business you want to go out of. Yeah.
The Aryan king was very supportive of the Eden, and when he heard this, such a thing as the Chevre Kadisha, he says, I want to join too.
Yeah.
And they couldn't say no, so they told him, you give the membership, we'll buy Kalim. So they brought the Kalim, they printed on it, this was a donation.
There are a lot. He brings out here a lot of very interesting minhagim. What was the minhag that they had? There's some really scary stuff. The Chevre Kadisha would dress up in white in tachrichim. It says in ancient times, and they would go collecting from house to house. They would put on the big day nesim and go collecting. And the only reason why they were mevatel was because the children were terrorized. It says you come, they knock on the door, and they have a whole chevre wearing tachrichim. The children saw this; they thought the dead were coming out of the graves. It was their hakpar. They used to have darshan. They would pay. This is another very unique minug. They have darshanim. They would hire special darshanim. And on Zion Adar, and it's very interesting. What was the topic? Something that today people do on Tisha B'Av. People do this today on Tisha B'Av. The minog was that on Zion Adar they would be maspid all of the gedolim who died the previous year. That was the custom. They would hire special professional maspidim to be maspid whatever all the people. And another very unique minog was that you had to pay to get into the drasha. Never such a thing. Every drasha, there was a rav. The rav got a salary, didn't get a salary. Today you go to a show, you got to pay. You have to buy a ticket. To get into an event, you got to pay a ticket, whatever the ticket is. This was the only event where by design, you had to pay to come hear the drasha, and everyone was shamed into hearing the drasha, and the reason why they did this was because it was customary that the people they hired to give the drashas would give mussar. And they wanted people to take the mussar seriously, and they felt that if they had to pay to get in, it would take it seriously. If you're just being forced, you get what you pay for. If you come for free, no. So he says, let him say whatever he has to say. But if you have to pay to get in, and you're shamed into paying money to get in, that means it's worthy of hearing. It's worthy of listening to. And when the Magid would get up and give mussar and tell people to do tshuva, do different things, that made a very big difference. There's a story with one of the Gedolei Yisrael, I remember who he has over here, where they had the Pinkos, they also did all these ceremonies they did on the Zayin Adar of the Chevre Kadisha to initiate, to bring in new members. And they did all these strange things. They took a coffin, they took a mita, the actual mita that they used to bury the dead, and they put candles around it, and the new people were called, they had to jump over would jump over the mita. And if they one of the candles would fall in the process, then they had to pay money or knas. All these mystical things were done, and they called by Amarei Chazal medalgim hayinu al aronei mesim when they came to give cover to the kings. Medalgim, I don't really grasp the whole gist, but they did these very strange medalgim in order what they did to initiate themselves into the service. They also on that they had a pinkas, a ledger where they wrote all the medalgim of the Chevra Kaddish, and every year they had new takas. There was one year where they hired a new Rav. I think it was the Avni Nezer. He was the Rav of the town, and he saw that the takonis that were written in the ledger were sacred. It was a very serious thing. So when they asked the Mechabit him to make new takonis, so the Fne'am Ve'eda, gave him the ledger, and Fne'am Ve'eda, he wrote the new takonis, he wrote the Aseres HaDibros. And he said to them, Halavai, you should be Mekayim the Aseres HaDibros, with the same seriousness as you Mekayim all of these Menhagim. The last of it, one other quick one, there was once a city, and this is very bit much, Moshe Rabbeinu, it's the Batir of Moshe Rabbeinu. What was the custom among many Kadmonim is to sit on Zayin Adar, not Shavuos, but Zayin Adar was the minhag to sit and learn the whole day. To sit and learn, because Batir of Moshe, how are you Mechabed Moshe Rabbeinu on his yard side, is to sit and learn. And the different stories, like, there's one quick story, there was a city where no one wanted to be a Rav. They put out ads in all the papers, someone come be our rabbi. We need a rabbi to service us. And the city had a very bad reputation, a bunch of wicked balabatim, troublemakers. So no one wanted a... So there was one person who really wanted a rabbi very much. So what he did was, he went to the Beis HaChaim, and he put up make-believe matzevis. It's a true story. He put up Poi Nitman, the Rabbi Kiva Eger, the Shach, the Magen Avraham, Chassam Sofer, he really did this. He put up real matzevis, and then when they brought candidates to the city, those days it wasn't like today. You know, you go online, you know the whole story. Magen Avraham is buried in this city. Oh, Chassam Sofer is buried in this city. Rabbi Kiva Eger, it's a real story. So one of the people, they fell for it. They fell for it. They must have been a chashva city. He became Rav, and then he realized the whole thing was a fraud. So he confronted the person, what's this Meshagas? You put it on that Seva, the Magen Avraham, what's going on? So he said to him, it's not Sheker, it's MS. Because where did the Chassam Sofer live? Pressburg. It's true, he died, but he's really alive, because in Pressburg they're sitting and they're learning and they're studying. They're learning all of his chidushim. The fact that they're learning from his svarim, he couldn't be more alive. In this city, he couldn't care less what he has to say. In this city, he's dead. He's gone. They had not so long ago in Eretz Yisrael, the 750th yard site of the birth of the Rambam, whatever, the birth, the commemorating the Rambam, big symposium to celebrate in the university, the Rambam, the life of the Rambam. So they asked one of the big Rosh Yeshivas, I heard this recently, they asked one of the big Rosh Yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, look at the difference between the university and the yeshivas. The university, they know how to be Mechabed Rambam. It's a 750th anniversary. Look, we made a symposium for a whole week to celebrate the life of the Rambam. And you Batlanim, what are you doing, you Batlanim? You don't even know it's the Rambam's yard. You don't even know from nothing. So the Rashi said back to him, Mamish Pumfakert, because by you, who are irreligious and not observed, not everyone, and you don't even know what the halacha, the Rambam Taka died. He died. And because he died, now it's been 750 years, you have to commemorate his patira. In the Olam HaYeshivas, he never died. He's alive and well. They sit the whole day and they harv over the Rambam. The Rambam never died. He never died. There's nothing to commemorate. He's alive and well. Same thing with Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, the ultimate covet for Moshe Rabbeinu is to learn. To learn to Mechazik and what it says in the Teras Moshe. Teras Moshe, that's not the Yom HaPetira. It's the day which Moshe Rabbeinu is alive and well, the day of his birth he lives on. Okay, maybe we'll do more tomorrow.